Well, good morning. Everyone lives with an expectant heart. There should be a slide coming up. The promise of things to come. You know, we wake up each day and expect so many things. We expect the sun to shine, that the buses run on time. We expect the car to start. And we expect the shops to be open. Yes. And so when we go there, we also expect that there's milk, you know, in their bottles in the fridge, freezers, and there's bread neatly wrapped on the shelf. Yeah. After 9 months of pregnancy, one expects a baby. Amen. January 19th. Amen. Amen. And if you work hard, you expect to get paid. Some people expect good things to have come their way, and others expect bad things. Like every time they go and check the post, another bill appears. Or when they start a course, they're already thinking that they're going to fail it before they've even tried. Or why would the boss look at them for a promotion? And once you start down that road of negativity and failure, it's really hard to change and reverse this condition of expectancy. But today I'm going to prove to you all that in Christ, we truly can live with hearts full of great expectations, and that we can live wonderfully inspired lives. For all of God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ with a resounding yes, and through Christ our amens are sent to God for His glory. So here's a great spot that we should just come again to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come humbly before You, Lord. You are the great promise keeper, and in all our ways, we trust in You. Thank You for the opportunity to proclaim Christ here today. For Your name is above all names, forever and ever. Amen. So are we ready? You know, we all have a journey, we all have a story, something that's our own story that's brought us right all here today. And today I need to share with you my story. You know, I grew up in a loving home. I'm the youngest of five children. And here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. So I'm the youngest of five children, and my parents weren't rich. In fact, I grew up on day-old bread and powdered milk, but I was never hungry. My parents are Christians, God-fearing, good Dutch folk. We lived in Kwinana, in a rough neighborhood, where the kids I played with in the street came from broken homes, but not I. Daily I was shipped to Perth to attend a Christian school, and weekly we traveled to Gosnells, just across the river there, to another church. Life was busy with loads of driving. And being the youngest of five, I always seemed to find myself in the boot of our much-loved Holden station wagon, travelling around, doing lots of driving. And the years ticked over, and by the tender age of eight, I witnessed my oldest pot-smoking brother have a physical fight, a physical altercation with my father, and got kicked out of home. By the age of 10, my second oldest brother, who was a cray fisherman, he moved to Geraldton. I waved goodbye, but I later found out that it was just another place that he could party, smoke drugs, and in fact inject heroin. By the time I was 12, we moved from the hood up into the Big Smoke, where we settled in Wilson, safer my parents thought. But by the time I was a teenager, I was nursing my oldest sister's newborn baby girl, having recently seen her just walk down the aisle. And then within another year, I was witnessing my other sister walking down the aisle, another baby bump, carefully concealed. Where are you, God? Why have you let these things happen to my family? Is what I would hear myself cry in the middle of the night. My heart expected different things for my family. And in all of this, I was the silent witness to a family being torn apart by sin. The silent witness to grieving parents over their loss. And as the years continued, I became a self-sabotager. Anything good developed for me, I would sabotage it. I would pull it down. I would destroy it. I was smart enough to go to uni, but I threw the exams. I was smart enough to get into the military, but I blew that away. I wouldn't let any of God's promises and blessings flow over me, no matter what. And by the age of 21, I hadn't done anything really too bad or anything really too good. In fact, nothing to make my parents proud. In fact, I really hadn't done anything. I was still towing the line. I was still going to church. But God didn't mean much to me. And he seemed so far away from me. And over the summer of my 21st birthday, I attended a Christian youth camp. And on one of those nights, I found myself out the front of the meeting, answering an altar call, calling out to God that things weren't right, that things needed to change, and that I needed help. And within a few small hours of that act, the devil stole the joy of my salvation. False accusations were brought against me by the very people I was entrusted to. And I snapped. If this is what Christians are all about, if this is what God's people are meant to do, then I don't want it. To hell with it. You can have it. I don't even want to see it ever again. And in that moment, I made a decision to live my life for me. And so with all the stops taken out, I lived for myself. I didn't care who I hurt along the way. And the people that you love the most, you seem to hurt the most. And I moved out into the world and took great pleasure in my sin. Partying with plenty of drinking and smoking became my norm. Late nights in clubs with easy women and riding fast motorbikes, smoking pot and flipping pills, playing cards and winning thrills. This was the life for me. By the time I was 25, I was running pubs and doing drugs. By the time I was 27, I was growing pot at 3 separate housing lots. I was consumed in my sin. And I was beating the system at every turn. And even at 30, I decided, hey, I could become a copper. And with my uniforms measured up, I failed my drug test, much to my disgust. At 32, I became a father to a very beautiful daughter with a woman I didn't even know how to love. And at 33, I got married. 6 months later, I got divorced. And then the darkness closed in. Over the next 6 or 7 years, life really wasn't that grand. Drugs and depression became my friend and the norm. And by the time I turned 40, I wasn't allowed to see even my most beautiful, precious daughter. And I knew deep down that I had to change and something had to give. And so I started to clean myself out. And you know, as the darkness broke, my spirit awoke, and the realization that I was a fool burned inside of me. The realization that God had never been far from me was staring me in the face. He was always there next to me, waiting for me. And when I felt far away from God, He was there whistling for me. Zechariah 10 verse 8 says, I, and that is God, will whistle them to gather them together. For I have redeemed them, and they will be as numerous as they were before. I always will remember the moment my eyes were open. The realization that sin had me right where it wanted me. That I had been skillfully played with by the devil, deceived and oppressed. And my heart was always put under this expectation of the worst for me. And so in the stillness of my backyard, I cried out to God. I bent my knee and asked God to change my heart expectancy. And because all of God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ with a resounding yes, and through Christ, our amens ascend to God for His glory, Christ changed my heart. Praise God. Yeah. And now my heart beats in sync with Christ's. And I have great expectations of things to come. For God has made me a new creation. And God is good all the time. All the time. But the story isn't fully told. My story is only part of a greater story. A story where God wins, He has always won, and He is always sitting on the throne forever. And so I need to tell you another story about another expectant heart. This heart always expected great things from God, always relied on God, and for as long as I can remember, always bet in sync with Christ. And I will always love this heart, for it is the heart of my mother. My mum wasn't born in Australia, but she came by boat in the late 60s with her husband, dragging two young boys with her. I mean, I'm not a boat person, but that makes my mother one of these boat people. It really does. She came to Australia for a better life for her family, better than the life she could see for it in Holland, her home country. God had always had a plan for my mum. A plan to prosper her, a plan for good things for her. And from a young age, my mother trusted God and believed in God. And so she followed God for all her days. Life was good. God blessed my mother's home. Her husband worked hard, and even though she wasn't wealthy, all her needs were met. God had shown her to be a good steward of the things entrusted to her. And so God continued to bless her family. And soon five pairs of feet ran around the home madly. In all things, my mother gives glory to God. Because Christ is the center of her house. Christ is the center of her home. And early in the morning, you could catch her at the foot of her bed, reading and praying to God. And she taught Jesus to her children, who Jesus was and is to her children. And the Bible was read daily around the dinner table. And my mother's heart was filled with great expectation from God. My mother's story has always been one of hope and trust in the King. I mean, and you've heard my story. And as my mother's children reach adulthood, sin plucked each of them away. And there was a war raging on in her home. There was a battle, not for land, but for the very souls entrusted to her. And with the battle lines drawn, my warrior mum commenced her battle on her knees in prayer. And I just want to stop here for a moment. You know, there are people here today that have very clear battle lines drawn in their homes. And there is a war raging for children, for spouses, for grandchildren. And they are the prize. But take heart. Expect great things from God. My mum sends you this encouragement. Firstly, keep your eyes fixed on the goal. And when the honor of the Lord is at stake, He will make iron float. In 2 Kings 6, there's a few small verses where some prophets and Elisha are down at the Jordan River building a new meeting hall to come to the Lord in prayer. And as one of the prophets is working, he loses his axe head in the water and it's borrowed. And because it's borrowed and being used in the service of the Lord, something needs to happen. And so Elisha throws a stick into the water and the axe head floats. When the honor of the Lord is at stake, He will make iron float. When the honor of the Lord is at stake, He will move. He will act in power. And He will act in the supernatural. He will even defy the natural laws that He has set in place. My mum has been on her knees for years, battling not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And because all of God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ, with a resounding yes, and through Christ, our amens ascend to God for His glory. In her house, iron floats. In her house, in her heart, she has got great expectations of what the Lord can do. I too have great expectations of what the Lord can do. And so for 40 years, the world had me. Sin had me and did with me what it wanted. Yet I stand before you changed. I stand before you a new creation. The old Fritz is gone. And the new Fritz is standing right here in front of you, witnessing to you his story. You know what? What happened to me can happen to you. You too can be a new creation in Christ. Wow. Yeah. Jesus Christ can set you free. And if you want to be free today, all you have to do is believe in Jesus as your Savior. And is that you today? Do you want to say yes to God? Why don't you just raise your hand if you want to say yes to God today? I know we've all got our eyes open. But if I can tell you my story here today and tell you where I've been, what mire I've been through, you can say yes to God. But if there's no one here today, I just want to tell you that in my mother's home, iron floats. And even though her bones are tired, her spirit is strong. And her heart expects great things from God. And God delivers. You know, my sisters serve God. And they married godly men. Their children love and serve God. My second oldest brother had a radical encounter with God at the age of 21. And God set him free instantly from his heroin addiction. And he serves the Lord with his wife and three kids faithfully from that moment forth. And after 21 years, here I am, Lord, with my beautiful daughter. Send me. And 4 months ago, after 37 years of prayer, my oldest brother finds himself at the foot of the cross. And his story is far crazier than mine. But God is good all the time. And because all of God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ with a resounding yes, and through Christ, our amens go up to God for His glory. In her house, iron floats. My mother is 75 years of age today. You know, she did nothing wrong to deserve this story. She had just been faithfully serving her King and Master. And with a heart full of great expectation of what the Lord can do. And God delivers. God always delivers. So what are you expecting of our God? So today we're going to actually open up the altar at the front. And there are men around here and some women that are going to come up and pray with people. And we're going to bring our needs before the Lord here. If you've got a heart that doesn't expect great things in prayer, we're going to change that today. All right? And if you've been battling for your family for years and you're tired, we're going to ask for strength for your bones today. We're going to pray for endurance for you to continue. 37 years, my mother was on her knees praying for her oldest. And if you need God to deliver today, together, we're going to ask Him. So right now, just as the music's playing, why don't you come forward and we're going to pray. Amen. Dave, you want to come and pray with people? Yes. Jeff and Mike, you want to come pray with people? Come forward. If you've got a battle raging in your home and you need the Lord to be on your side all the days of your life, now is the day that iron will float in your home.